the Gospel Hour, making known to this nation the gospel of Jesus Christ. Stay tuned for today's message that was preached and recorded by the founder of the Gospel Hour, Evangelist Dr. Oliver B. Green.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Gospel Hour. I'm David Green, director of the Gospel Hour, inviting you to stay tuned with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a beautiful song today and wind down this week's installments in our verse-by-verse study of the Gospel of John, as preached and taught by my late father, Dr. Oliver B. Green. Now, the series will continue next week, Monday through Friday, so tune in each and every time that you can. But just before the message today, let's hear that great song, Friendship with Jesus. Jesus is not only our Savior, He should be our friend each and every day. I hope He is your friend. So enjoy the music, and then Dr. Green.
Here with our message, Oliver B. Green.
Our Father, we thank Thee for the privilege we have of looking unto the Lord Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And as we study this all-important passage today, I beg for wisdom, the leadership of the Holy Spirit, unction from Almighty God, and help me to rightly divide the word of truth and give forth words of truth and soberness in the fear of God for Jesus' sake. Amen. Yesterday, when I left the radio, I promised you that we would discuss verse 23, John 20. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. Now, I promised yesterday that I would answer the questions, or questions such as these, did Jesus give these disciples the authority and the power to forgive sins, to remit sins, or to retain sins, and is this power handed down to ministers today? Now, I don't know but one place to find the right answer. Just one place, and that's in the Bible. Now, if the Bible is the Word of God, let us believe it, live by it, and die by it. If it isn't, let's junk it. Now, all these modern translations that are coming out, pay no attention to them because the Word is forever settled in heaven, and it makes no difference what man thinks about it or what man says about it. He'll never change it. Now, in 1 Timothy chapter 2, we read, beginning at first verse 1, and I want you to turn in your Bible. I don't want to quote it. I want you to read it. 1 Timothy 2:1. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications and prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. For there is good and acceptable in the sight of God. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come under the knowledge of the truth. Now, God wants all men to be saved. It's not God's will that any perish, but that all come to repentance. Now, the verse. For there is one God. We believe that, don't we? We believe that. Now, wait just a minute now. I want you to be patient. I want you to be kind, and I want you to be humble, and I want you to listen. I'm not trying to cram anything down anybody's throat. I have no religious axes to grind. I'm not defending a religion or a denomination or a program. I'm preaching the Word. Now, there is no religion on earth that believes there is two gods. We believe in one God. The Jews who listen to me today believe in one God. The Protestants who believe in me, who listen to me today, believe in one God. And the Catholics who believe, or rather who listen to me, believe in one God. Whether it be Greek or Roman or whatever, Catholics, you believe in one God. Now, you don't believe Protestants, Jews, Catholics. We all believe one God. Now, I don't believe there's anybody that would write to me today and say, Mr. Green, I disagree on your statement, one God. I don't believe there's anybody that would write me and tell me that. The Bible says there is one God. Well, now you say, Brother Green, what is this I hear you say on the radio about Jesus and about the Holy Ghost? We believe in one God manifest in three persons. We believe in the Godhead. We believe in the Trinity. Now, there are some who deny the Trinity, but still they believe in one God. They deny that God is a Trinity. They deny that, but they still believe the first part of this verse. For there is one God, comma, then the next word is a connecting word. We call it a conjunction. And one mediator between God and men. Notice God is singular, men is plural. One mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ, lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. Now then, the thing that I want to drive home today is this. I'm not defending a religion, a denomination, a program, a minister, a school, a dogma, a teaching, a doctrine. I'm reading the Word of God. And if I can't believe the Word of God, then let's junk it. Let's junk it. Let's quit. Now, you have a right to believe anything you want to believe. But don't tell me that you're following Jesus unless you believe what Jesus teaches. Now, you can follow anybody you want to follow. You don't have to follow Jesus. You can make yourself a god. You can set up for yourself a church, a program, a religion. You can write yourself a Bible. Some are. Some are doing that. And you can. But if you want to go to the celestial city that Jesus said he would go to prepare for us, if you want to go there, then you must believe what Jesus said. Now, there is one God, we agree. There is one, O-N-E, singular, O-N-E, not plural, one, mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. Now keep that in mind, and turn with me again to 1 John, now this is the epistle, 1 John chapter 1. And in 1 John chapter 1, we find these precious words. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, I'm going slow, cleanseth us from A-double-L, all S-I-N, sin. Now, in 1 John 1:5, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Then, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have fellowship and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Now, the thing that I want to point out there is this. It's plain as plain can be. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. One mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. Now, did these disciples have the power to absolve sin or to forgive sin or to retain or deliver from sin? I'll let the Bible answer. There's no need of me answering. What I say is not worth 2 cents, but what the Bible says determines whether you spend eternity in heaven or hell. John 12:48, the Bible declares that we'll be judged according to the words Jesus spoke. Now, in the next verse in that chapter, 1 John 1:8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Now watch it. If we confess our sins, they are, whoa, wait a minute, preacher, wait just a minute. Okay. They know he, one God, one mediator, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we deceive, or rather we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Now, listen to this. My little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an, singular, one. We have an advocate. We have an advocate. We have an advocate with the Father. And the advocate is Jesus Christ the righteous. Now let me read it. My little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate. We have an advocate. One mediator. He is the forgiveness for our sins, one advocate, Jesus Christ the righteous. Now verse 2. And he, not they, and he is the propitiation for our sins and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. Now, please note that these words are singular, not plural. And these words refer to Jesus, not Oliver Green or any other minister alive today, regardless of the title. Now, beloved, please don't get angry with me. Don't hate me, hell, because I don't hate you. I love you. I love everybody. I love the white man, the colored man, the red man, the yellowed man. I love the Jew, the Gentile. I love everybody. I love everybody. But honest, beloved, I can't lie. I cannot lie. I must. It is absolutely imperative that I read the Word of God and preach the Word of God or just quit. I refuse to be a hypocrite and a liar in the pulpit. Now, Jesus is the mediator, the man, Christ Jesus. Now, wait just a second. There's a man in heaven. There is a God in heaven. In John chapter 1, Jesus was in the bosom of the Father. But Jesus became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. Now, this man Jesus left the Father's bosom, and he came into the world, and he laid his life down that we might have life. So John said in John 1:29, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Now, Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And through the sacrifice of his own blood, he paid the sin debt. He was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. He went to the cross. He died on the cross for the remission of sin. And when he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down at the right hand of God the Father. And he sits there today to make intercession for you and for me. He, Jesus, not Oliver Green, is the mediator between God and men. He, Jesus, is the one that is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanses from all unrighteousness. He, Jesus, is the advocate between sinful men and a righteous God. It is Jesus and none other. Now, beloved, I say that in love. I say it with a sincere heart. I say it because the Bible teaches it. I dare not preach anything that is not clearly recorded in the Word of God. Now let me say this. There has never been but one man that satisfied the heart of God. When Jesus was baptized, the Father said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear him." And then on the Mount of Transfiguration, he said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And it was on that occasion that he said, "Hear him." On the other occasion, he said, "This is my beloved Son." The words, "Hear ye him," are not there. But they are in the 17th chapter of Matthew. Now in the 3rd chapter, at the baptism, God said, "This is my Son." And then on the Mount of Transfiguration, he said, "Hear him." Now, beloved, listen to me. Jesus is the bread of life. He's the water of life. He's the light of the world. He's the door to the sheepfold. Now there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Now, there are a lot of attractive ways, inviting ways, beautiful ways, but there is only one way to heaven, just one, and that's the straight and the narrow way that Jesus purchased with his blood. Now, just a moment. Jesus is the only sinless, perfect man that ever lived. He's the only one. He never sinned in thought, word, or deed. He challenged his enemies, "Which one of you convinceth me of sin?" And not one of them could put their finger on his life. He lived without sin. He died without sin. The wages of sin is death, but Jesus did not die because of sin's wages. Jesus literally handed his life back to God. He died of his own volition, his own free will. He literally handed his life back to the hands of God Almighty. So he didn't die as the penalty of sin. He died that you and I might be saved. So, Jesus did not give these disciples the authority to retain or to forgive sins. Never. Because these men were men of like passion, such as we are. You remember on several occasions when men fell down to worship the disciples, they rebuked them and they refused to let them do it. Peter and Paul both refused to let men fall at their feet and worship because they were men of like passion. They were sinful men, just like the men that came to them. Now, friend, it is absolutely unbelievable that Jesus would commit into the hands of Peter the power to forgive sins or to retain sins. In other words, it is absolutely beyond reason to think that any one of the disciples had the power or the ability to forgive a man's sins or to refuse to forgive a man's sins. Now let me say this with all the love that God will give me. Let me say this from a sincere heart, but let me say it because it's Bible. If you step inside the pearly gates, and if you hear God Almighty say, "Enter thou the joys of thy Lord," it will be because you received Jesus by faith. And it will be because you confessed your sin to Jesus, not Oliver Green or some minister or some church. If we confess our sins, He, Jesus, is faithful. He is the mediator between God and men. He sat down at the right hand of God the Father to mediate for you and me. And in Matthew 10, Jesus said, "If you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father. But if you deny me before men, I will also deny you before my Father, which is in heaven." Now, kind friend by the radio, regardless of what you believe, what you've heard, what you've been taught, the Bible clearly teaches that there is only one that can forgive sins, and that's God. And God, for Christ's sake, forgives us when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Ministers cannot forgive you. Ministers cannot confess you to God. Jesus confesses us to the Father. He said, "If you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father, which is in heaven." God help you to ask yourself the question, the serious question, the solemn question, the eternal question. Have I confessed Jesus as my Savior? Have I committed my sins to Him? Has He covered my sinful soul with His precious blood? Am I washed in the blood of the Lamb? Is Jesus my mediator? Is He my confessor? Is He pleading my case before God the Father this moment? If He isn't, dear friend, you're lost. Bow your head and receive Jesus this very moment. Father, honor Thy Word, the Word of God, the living Word, the Word that is the power of God unto salvation, the incorruptible seed. Honor Thy Word, the name of Jesus, the shed blood, and save that soul, our Heavenly Father, that is nearest eternity without God. Reclaim the backslidden, revive the indifferent, stir believers, strengthen believers, and may the weak be made strong. And we'll give God the praise in Jesus' precious saving name and for His sake. Amen.
Friends, this is David Green once again. Thank you for tuning in today. I hope you were blessed as you listened to the Gospel Hour program today. And please tune in again each and every time that you can. Now, just before we close, I do have a few moments left to share with you our gift offer for this week. Gift offer DD as in David. It contains two items, a book and a musical CD, and it's available to you in return for your donation to this ministry in the amount of $10 or more. Please send more if you can, $15, $25, $50, whatever the Lord lays on your heart will be used for God's glory. And I know that many of you, after you hear more about it, will want to order several sets of this offer to share with others, put in your church library, and so on. Now, you can certainly do that. I welcome your orders of multiple sets of Offer D. All I need to know is how many sets you want, and please send a donation of at least $10 for each set that you order. And in return, I'm going to send you the book by my father entitled Eternal Life. It's 188 pages long. It's a hardback book. It has a foreword by my dad, which you really need to read. He gives you so much information in his forewords to any book. And then there are 10 chapters. For instance, what is eternal life? Man's way, false. God's plan of salvation, substitution, the grounds for salvation. Just some of the chapters in this great book. Then we have the musical CD by the Gospel Hour singers and musicians, Eternal Promises of God. 17 great songs. In fact, this is my favorite songs in this album. Songs such as I Heard It All, Lost It All to Find Everything, In the Garden, Come Unto Me, His Eye is on the Sparrow, Almost Persuaded. Just some of the great songs in this album. So to get the music and the book, just ask for Gift Offer D and send your gift of at least $10. Here's how to make your donation.
Friends, to order this week's gift offer or to contribute to this ministry, write to us at the Gospel Hour, Post Office Box 2024, that's 2024, Greenville, South Carolina, 29602. Or call us toll-free Monday through Friday between the hours of 8:30 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time at 1-800-745-0324. That's 1-800-745-0324. You may use your Visa, Discover, or MasterCard anytime you write or when you call. You can also place your order online 24 hours a day by visiting our website at www.thegospelhour.org. Here also you may order other materials available through this ministry. To receive an audio CD of today's message, be sure to give us today's date and enclose a gift of at least $5 to cover the cost of production and handling.
Friends, this is David Green again. On behalf of myself and the entire Gospel Hour family, I want to thank you for tuning in to the program today. I hope you received a blessing today and will tune in again each and every time you can. And so, until next time, may the Lord bless you and keep you in His will.